appointment with proof before releasing, which we did. We took Pebbles to Dove Mountain Veterinarian, and I have paperwork from the veterinarian there. Also, on the me saying that I refuse to give Pebbles any medication, untrue. The other thing is that I like to say is that I wish, you know, I could, you know, be there. I really wish I could be there in person, but I cannot. So this is all very, very frustrating to me right now because of what she is saying is untrue. Untrue. My dog wasn't neglected. Maybe she hadn't been bathed when I did take her in. And another thing, Pebbles wasn't in dire pain, as she is saying, that she was yelping and crying out. So I, you know, I don't know what else to add, but, you know, I'll answer questions if I, you know.
Okay.
I'm ready to answer.
All right, thank you. Board members that have questions for Ms. Velasquez.
Hi, this is Dr. Nosley. Prior to your visit on 9/17, you had your gabapentin and your meloxicam previously prescribed. How were you giving it?
Yes, so previously she had given it to me, and it said to give it to her with food and to give it to her as needed for pain, and which I did. And what she is saying that I didn't want to take paper, the medication, was that I told, the only thing that I said there when I went that day to pick up Pebbles was I told her assistant that I had found some of her medication. She still had some left over. But then I said, I told her, I will pay for the other medication. There was never an issue with money. Never.
Okay. So you're saying today that you never refused to give Pebbles any more medicine. You never said, I am not going to give her any more medicine.
That's correct, sir.
And when did you find out, and how did you find out that Pebbles was not going to be going home with you that day?
This is what happened. Her assistant, I finally received a call from her assistant, and she never, during the day, called me to say what was being done with Pebbles, anything about her being bandaged. I was never told anything. I was never communicated with that. The only thing they said was, Pebbles is ready to be picked up, which I did go when they called me.
Okay, so you left without Pebbles, right?
Yes, very, very distraught, very unhappy. I was, and the thing is, like I said previously, I never left the premises. I was always there. I was waiting for the officer because her assistant had said that they had contacted the police and that they would arrive shortly. Why would I leave the premises if, you know, I'm very confused about this, what she's saying.
No, that's fine. That's why we're talking. So you never left the premises?
No, sir. No.
Why did you call the police?
Because my daughter Teresa, she's my babysitter for Pebbles. So So she knows Pebbles, and she wasn't at my house. My other daughter was at the house. My other daughter couldn't come to the office, so I called my daughter and told her what was going on, and immediately she told me, and as well as my husband told me, they said, call the police, call South Tucson police, and wait there.
I guess my question was why?
Why?
Yeah, because why did you call the police?
Because she refused, sir. Dr. Edwards very bluntly said that I wasn't taking Pebbles home and accusing me of animal cruelty and abuse. Okay. That is why I called them.
Okay, that's what I was getting at. You were told we're not releasing Pebbles.
That's correct.
Okay. Did Dr. Edwards or any of the staff explain to you what was going to happen to Pebbles at that point? You weren't going to be taking her home, but did anybody explain to you now what happens with Pebbles?
No, because when we go in, the first time I went in, they let me go in, they let me go in with Pebbles. This time, they told me to wait in that waiting area and to wait for the doctor because she wanted to talk to me. And they never allowed me to go in to see Pebbles. I never even saw that bandage on her. I never saw where she was being held, contained. And that's what happened. She refused to let her go, and saying that she also, very sarcastic voice, accused me of stealing my own dog. Saying because she was a rescue dog, as it's on the record. Pebbles is a rescue, and she told me, so she just magically appeared at your front door. So I knew this was going nowhere with her. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare.
So during the conversations in total, on the 17th and then on the 18th, was there yelling? Were you yelling? Was Dr. Edwards yelling? Help us understand, characterize that conversation.
I don't see where she, I heard her say that my group or whatever, my crowd I had, it was only my husband and myself on that day, the 17th. Mm-hmm. He came into the office. My husband had cancer of the throat. So he has a hard time with his speech. And so he was trying to find out from her why she refused to give us Pebbles, but she just kept saying, well, we're going to wait on the police. And that's all.
Okay. That's all the questions I had. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Any
other
questions?
Some other board members, ma'am.
For Ms. Velasquez?
Yes.
I have one question, Ms. Velasquez, regarding regarding her staying overnight and then you picking her up the next day. What was your understanding when you were able to come pick her up the next day? Like, how did you get to come pick her up?
Okay, so this is what happened. When the first police officer arrived on the 17th, he told us that it wasn't, since he asked us for our home address, so we told him our address. And he said, well, we're not in the jurisdiction or something to that form. And then he said, you need to call TPD. You call TPD and tell them the situation, and then, which we did. As soon as my husband and I arrived just here at the house, we called him and we talked. I don't know if I have his name here, but we do have a report, a paper with his name. And he said, no, it's actually there. They're supposed to take care of it because it happened there on that address. So that's what we did. The following morning, he said, you're going to receive a call from this officer, and you're going to meet him there at the pet animal clinic. So, which we did. We met him there. He went in first. He didn't allow my daughter or myself to go in. He went in first. He had, like, I don't know, three other officers with him, maybe. They went in. We stayed outside till he told us it was okay to go inside. And that's when he... I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
And that's when he asked her, he said, okay, so will you receive a payment from Mrs. Velasquez for the services rendered and the medication and all that? And they agreed to it. They said yes. So they accepted that $220 was a MasterCard payment, which she later mailed me a check saying that she was refusing payment.
Okay.
I still have the check. I never cashed it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Madam Chair, I just have a couple of quick questions for Ms. Velasquez. Ms. Velasquez, this is Jane Solomon, and I'm a public member of the Veterinary Board. You mentioned jurisdictional issues. If I understand what you were saying, it's the clinic that's in South Tucson, and your residence is in the city limits of Tucson.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from board members? Okay. Seeing none, Ms. Velasquez, we're done asking you questions. Dr. Edwards, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
I have some additional remarks. You know, this is an unfortunate situation for everybody. And Dr. Edwards didn't want to do what she was forced to do. And, you know, you look back and you think, well, how did things get to this point? How did things get so far out of control? And I think I know the answer to that. And you heard the complainant say that she was given a prescription for gabapentin and was given it as needed for pain. That's not what the prescription says. I've got it right here. It says give 2 to 3 times a day for pain. And that's how we got to this situation. She wasn't following the prescription medication. The dog was in severe pain. She wasn't giving the pain medication. In fact, she was refusing to give the pain medication. And at that point, Dr. Edwards has a statutory duty to report a case of suspected animal cruelty or neglect. This dog was neglected. She didn't file a report because the dog was unkempt. It was dirty and had feces in its hair. Dr. Edwards testified that this dog was actually in much better condition than most of the dogs that she sees in terms of cleanliness. She had to file a complaint because this dog was not being properly cared for. It was not being given pain medication that it was prescribed to give 2 to 3 times a day. And pursuant to the Pima County Animal Cruelty Task Force and the statute, when there is a suspected case, this was an actual case of neglect. The dog was not getting the pain medication it was supposed to be given, and the owner was refusing to when the problem was pointed out to her. And Dr. Edwards said, look, you have to either give the pain medication, authorize me to do the treatment plan I want to do, or go see another veterinarian. 3 options. And if you don't, I'm not going to have any choice but to follow my statutory obligation and report this. And so that's what she had to do, and that's how we ended up here today. One thing I want to clear up unequivocally, did you ever tell Ms. Vasquez, quote unquote, you are not taking this dog home?
No.
On the 17th, you testified about that there was heated conversation and that there was a group of people involved. It wasn't on the 17th, was it?
No, it was the following day.
Okay, on the 18th, when the owner returned and you gave the dog back to her, how many people were in her group?
There was four or five people with her, and there was three or four police officers, and then there was me and my staff up front.
Okay, and those three or four people, is that the group that you were referring
right.
to? That were
right.
Okay. Do you have anything else you wish to add?
I did not call Tucson Police Department. I called South Tucson Police Department, which is the police department I'm supposed to call. The police officer, you know, I explained everything to both police officers, exactly what we said, and I sincerely did not want to make this report. I really did not want to have to get up all night long and take care of the dog. I really wanted to get the dog taken care of and have her teeth taken care of and have an x-ray and be able to show her what was going on and have a treatment plan for this dog. But I was not allowed to do that. And that's why I think we're here. I don't have anything against the Velasquez's. I don't know them that well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. Doctor Nunez.
Okay. We have a lot of information in this case. As we just heard, a lot of people involved. And more importantly, two very different accounts of the interactions between the parties. Combined then with the investigative committee's recommendation, I think probably the best approach for discussion here would be to kind of look at their recommendations and use that as an outline, and then make motions, add or subtract or whatever. So that's, because we have a lot, we need to have a kind of an outline. So looking at the IC's recommendations, the first one was 32, 22, 32, 12 as it relates to R311, 5011. For the failure to provide acceptable procedures for not releasing the dog to the pet owner. So this is totally credibility here. We have to decide because we have two, we have the respondent's position, she was just trying to make a report, wanted to release the dog, and the complainant saying she refused to give me the dog. So we have to decide who we believe in that case. The bottom line is that the dog did not go home. The dog was not released. No one said, here, take her home. You've got 48 hours, according to Arizona statutes, to make your report. So I fail to understand why you don't just release the dog and then make your reports.
Well, just to say that the officer said to keep the dog. So she was told by it.
Well, that was after calling 911.
That's fine.
Before that.
She has a duty to call.
Yeah, but this is prior.
Within 48 hours.
It doesn't matter. If you think you need to do it, it's within 48 hours. It doesn't say you can't do it within 1 hour.
No.
It's just you have to do it within 48. So right. I don't think we're putting a time limit on something and there's no time limit.
But we're talking about before the officers were involved. Before any officer was involved.
If she had the forethought to make the call, she thought there was possible abuse, which she's under a duty to call it that. She's held a statute of this. This is a discussion we shouldn't even be having. She's under a duty. If she thinks there's abuse, she may be wrong in it, but if she thinks under good faith that there's abuse, and she did under
but,
what I'm hearing,
but the
she's
issue,
to call.
Wait,
sorry,
but the issue was over severe pain and not giving gabapentin as prescribed.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the 48 hours. Okay. If she thought that the animal was being abused and the owner said, I'm not giving this medication, that's, in my opinion, good faith. Is she wrong? Maybe, but that's still good faith. That's like CPS. If you think there's child abuse going on, they're going to call. They're going to make sure something is or isn't happening, and then you move from there. But to hold her liable when she has a good faith violation
CPS,
here?
Doctor.
Because
but
it's abuse. Abuse is abuse in medicine.
No, but I think
it's the same kind of thing.
To report somebody for not following the prescription that you provided is questionable abuse. If I did that on every client that didn't follow what I told them to do.
If the dog's coming back in pain and you're not giving the pain medication.
Severe pain and gabapentin. Think about that.
I know. Muscle IBDD.
On top of that, the owner, you have to decide whether severe pain was really severe pain, but the owner testified that there was not severe pain, and the vet is saying there was.
Yeah, how many times does an animal come in limping and it's not in pain?
But you have to decide whose testimony you believe on that, because I don't know that there was severe pain. What I'm saying is that we basically, and depending on if you actually think it was because of the gabapentin or whether you think that this was actually because the dog was unkept and there were all these other issues, mm-hmm. you have to believe the testimony you want to believe, but reporting just because an owner didn't give gabapentin the way you told them to give it, to me, would be questionable.
I mean, it opened up for a vote, but we're under a duty here. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different ballgame. When you're under an actual duty by statute, that's a whole different ballgame. If you suspect anything and you don't report it, mm-hmm. you're at fault. This is a whole different ballgame of, just seeing someone playing in the front yard and calling on some kids that are yelling and screaming in the street. You're under a licensed duty to call if you suspect anything.
Right.
So, I mean, can I falter on that? I can't.
Well, I think we can just keep...
We have the discussion, but yeah. there's statute here.
The discussion was not involved with making the report. She can make a report on as much as she wants, mm-hmm. whenever right. she wants. The question was, why didn't Ms. Velasquez take the dog home?
Because the officer had told her to keep the dog overnight. No, and the officer is the authority.
Before the officer. Forget the officer.
So I think the animals, you're neglecting the animals, so I'm going to send it home without calling the police and finding out what they say.
I mean, I call the police, but the question is released.
She said the dog looked better than most of the dogs she's seen.
Well, in the unkempt portion of all that, but again, if we're saying that she has up till 48 hours, it sounds like we're saying you don't call until that 48 hours hits. That's weird.
No,
we don't call any time.
No,
I don't understand where we're saying.
Madam Chair,
we have a duty.
Members of the board, I just want to remind everybody, we have a court reporter who's trying very hard, and it's really important for us to let each other finish our thoughts before mm-hmm. jumping in, so that we can, have an accurate record of everybody's comments. Thank you. Continue.
I'm sorry. So my focus is on prior to any police officers coming to the clinic. The credibility part is, did she say, I'm not releasing this animal, and is that okay? And the complainant said, she told me she's not releasing it.
So
before any officers.
So the owner didn't show up till 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have any conversations throughout the day to say, I'm not releasing this animal. This all happened at the end of the day.
Right.
This all happened in a very short period.
Right.
So the time before 5:30 when the client showed up, or whatever time it was that we showed mm-hmm. up, based, I think it was 5:30 based on testimony,
right.
doesn't matter. We couldn't talk to the owner, so it doesn't matter what we wanted at that point. No. We couldn't get a hold of the owner. We couldn't get an approval for an estimate. We couldn't get approval for anything. We couldn't say that there's a question going on with, was the medication given? We have a question about abuse, about neglect. We can't say any of that until 5:30 comes, and then the ball starts rolling, and it all happens right then. So there's not a whole lot of before time.
Before the ball starts rolling.
What time is this? Just give me a time.
Right after she had her conversation.
At 5:30.
At 5.
Okay.
She had her conversation. Why didn't she lead with her
pet?
Because a conversation is a flowing thing, and it turned into, I think you're neglecting this animal.
So why did she call the police?
If somebody told me.
Why did the complainant call the police?
Because she said that the owner or the doctor stole the dog overnight. That's what I'm gathering.
No, this is
because that's what it says in the police report.
Any
it says in the police report right here. No, let me tell you the police report. The police report right here says, hold on,
right.
Let me read it into the record.
Okay.
On 9/18/2024, at approximately 9:04 hours, I was dispatched to a call at the AutoZone located at address in reference to the theft of a dog. Upon my arrival, I made contact with the complainant identified as. Who informed me of the following. She and her mom had taken the dog to the veterinary clinic for the injured leg and going here, and the dog wasn't released, basically. So that's where the report comes in, the dog not being released. But the night before, a police officer was called via 911. I don't care if it's emergency or non-emergency. I really don't care. A police officer was dispatched, and the police officer made the determination, until I talk to my supervisor, do not release this dog. That is out of her hands. Yeah. That's out of her hands at that point. So I don't understand where this question is going. She has a duty to report, and once you report, it's out of your hands. You have to do what the authorities tell you.
I agree 100% with your description of the police officers. Mm-hmm. I agree 100% if she feels like a duty, she can certainly do that. Mm-hmm. My focus on why didn't she release the dog?
Right. Yeah.
In the very before...
Because she's under a duty if she thinks there's neglect. If she thinks there's neglect, I'm not going to say, here, go back to the house I think you're abusing from, and I'll call within 48 hours and maybe send a police officer over so that you can abuse for the next 48 hours. That's kind of what you're asking.
Yeah.
Well,
if you think there's abuse, why would you release the animal at that point? You call the police, and you let the police make the determination, which is what it sounds like happened. You're trying to look at this isolated. This is the hard point of stopping. Let's just keep going. This is a fluid situation.
So basically, the investigative committee's recommendation, this first part had several. That was the first part. Not releasing the dog to the pet owner. I agree with that one. So let's move on to the next part of it because they're all together. Yeah. The technical staff making a treatment plan and performing diagnostics without the respondent's direction. I would strike performing diagnostics. They didn't perform any diagnostics without the respondents, but they did develop a treatment plan. They said, well, we're going to radiograph your dog. That's a staff providing a treatment plan.
I think that what I heard and why it's a little bit different is that this veterinarian says on any limping dog that comes in, our mm-hmm. treatment plan is this. So mm-hmm. she sets the treatment plan. She just sets it for all limping dogs and then decides from there what she wants to do. So I don't necessarily know that I have a problem with that because that's just then the technical staff saying, I'm going to execute the plan that she's already provided us. And then once the dog gets here, she can reevaluate. That's kind of how I
see. So the question is that okay to have a general treatment plan?
I think it is. I think a lot of clinics do. Honestly,
well, it's kind of like whenever people are phone shopping, right? If you give them an idea of what the fees start at, then they have a reasonable expectation before they get there.
I think that's pretty normal. Me personally.
Okay. I won't say that. Providing treatment to the dog without the pet owner's consent. That was the third part of it. I certainly think giving gabapentin or anything and applying the bandage without any discussion at all is providing treatment to the dog without the owner's consent.
For the gabapentin, if that had already been prescribed mm-hmm. and the owner had already purchased it, so in other words, they've already agreed to this drug, is that still without consent?
But did we know whether or not they had administered it that morning?
Right.
Well, we have a signed consent form on 917, at admission. We can say that maybe it wasn't read because there's no initial on the trained personnel will not be attending hospitalized animals, but in this actual release, it says, treatment of my animal may involve tests, x-rays. I agree to all costs and understand diagnosis may involve my animal staying in the clinic for longer than just one day. I mean, everything's in this release here. So,
and
it was signed?
Signed.
Yeah, it's signed.
Okay, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's I can't see which page this is. Yeah, there's a signed release here. It just doesn't have the initials at the bolded trained personnel will not attend hospitalized animals beyond regular office hours. So if that's the case, you could say maybe she didn't read it, but she signed it. There's no staff initials at the bottom, but it is signed, and it says that in there.
I think the question is, whose gabapentin was it? Was it the gabapentin that was brought in by the complainant, or was it gabapentin that was from them?
What about the bandage?
I don't know if I would say that that was necessarily treatment versus that was more trying to keep the dog comfortable. Because it's not treatment. I didn't intend this dog to go home with it. I think it was more she was trying to keep this dog comfortable. So I don't necessarily know that I have a problem with that either.
Mark, since this first recommendation involves three, and then I want to add a fourth, mm-hmm. How can we do that? Because we've got some disagreement regarding parts of one violation.
Put it up for vote, see what
happens. Yeah, you still have to make a motion.
And me personally, just for my sake, I'm saying yes or no to something, it's mm-hmm. easier if we just make them all separate. So even if we have to do the same violation twice,
like it's still going to be 32-22, 32-12, right? But make it twice with the different reasons, then we can at least vote on each reason.
Vote on each one individually. Yes. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would make a motion to find a violation of ARS 32-22, 32-12 as it relates to R311-501, failure to provide professional acceptable procedures for not releasing the dog to the pet owner.
Second.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. Can we voice vote this? Mark, yes. Or do you want to roll call?
Yeah.
Okay. Voice vote.
All right. Sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
So the ayes have it.
We have two nays?
Two nays.
I think it's two, yeah.
Okay.
Then I would make a motion to find a violation. Do I need to repeat it each time? Or
yeah, okay.
All right, sure. 32-22, 32-12 as it relates to R311-501, failure to provide professional acceptable procedures for the technical staff making a treatment plan without the respondent's direction, striking performing diagnostics.
Okay.
There's
a motion. Is there a second? No second.
Don't. Okay, good. So we can stop fighting for a minute. Number the third part, again, I will make a recommendation to find a violation of ARS 32-22-32-12 as it relates to R311-501, failure to provide professional acceptable procedures for providing treatment to the dog without the pet owner's consent.
Second.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
The nays have it.
What are you, a nay?
Yeah.
Okay. Drop the bone.
Then I would...
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, could we clarify who the nays were?
Oh, on the last one?
Yes.
Dr. Byrne, Dr. Wright, Nikki, and Dr. James, and Dr. Thompson.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would make a motion, ARS 32-22-32-12, as it relates to R311-501, failure to provide professional accepted procedures for... failing to show respect to the owner through courteous verbal interchange during the conversations of 9:17 and 9:18.
Second.
Okay, so a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
The ayes have it. Do you need the two nays?
Yeah, that's...
Dr. Byrne and Dr. Wright. Okay.
Then... I'm going to strike the recommendation for the failure to provide the pet owner with an estimate of fees for treatments. And then we had a recommendation for our ARS 32-22-32-21 as it relates to R311-502L7. A failure to document in the medical record the concentration of gabapentin and clavamox prescribed to the dog. I would say prescribed to the dog, not administered, but other than that.
Second. Okay, so I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
And I would make a motion to find... violation of ARS 32-22-32-11, gross negligence, for misdiagnosing a normal carpus as diseased based on a substandard radiograph and adopting a treatment plan based on the misdiagnosis.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Can you state that motion again one more time?
Sure.
Oh, okay, so do we have to...
No, I think everybody voted. I just want to hear it from my vote.
I just didn't hear some votes, actually.
Okay.
So I don't know if it passed or not.
We can just do a voice vote. Okay. I mean,
Oh, that didn't work for me.
Roll call.
You want me to repeat it? Gross negligence for misdiagnosing a normal carpus as diseased based on a substandard radiograph and adopting a treatment plan based on that misdiagnosis.
And I seconded that motion.
Does it change anything if
there was recommendation to do additional x-rays that were declined?
Because I don't necessarily know that that would have been our ultimate diagnosis and treatment plan had the additional x-rays been approved. Do you see what I'm asking?
Yeah, I do. But what about the part that convinced me to make this motion is the severe DJD, radiologist report, normal joint. So we have a misdiagnosis.
Right, but I think the point was that initial x-ray that was taken at this clinic was subpar, mm-hmm. and she wanted to repeat it. When the radiologist looked at it, those were x-rays that were taken with sedation or some pain medication at the other veterinarian. So she didn't have those same x-rays, yeah. that diagnosis was going to be out the same ones.
Sure. So why put in the record that we have a collapsed carpus with severe DJD and valgus and all those things? Why do you put that in the record? What you put in the record was I can't read it. So I need more radiographs.
Well, mm-hmm. that was her DDX, right? I mean, you put a bunch of stuff in your DDX and then you put in your plan that you want to have additional diagnostics to clarify and better determine what that DDX is.
It wasn't a presumptive diagnosis. It was a diagnosis. Okay. It's right in the record.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. I think the collapsing was probably more based on clinical symptoms than the mm-hmm. x-ray. The severe DJD is a little concerning because I'm not sure how you... There's no way to know that that's mm-hmm. there outside of an x-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's presumptive.
To which, when you say severe,
well, DJD is degenerative joint disease,
which
you diagnose typically on x-ray. I mean, you can have a presumption that that's what it is, but this wasn't a differential, this was a diagnosis. So
it's on the same line.
Yeah.
It's on the same line in the record. Where she describes the DJD, she's also describing a collapsed carpus. And that's her interpretation of the radiograph.
And that did
on one line, not presumptive diagnosis. This is what I see on the radiograph. So that's why I took it as this was her presumptive diagnosis. Not, it might be this, but I need more radiographs. I didn't see that in the record. I didn't see anything in the record except this is what I see. And I'm wondering if that's not why the bandage was put on. That's my interpretation of it. So, I understand where you're coming from. Maybe this was just maybe this is sort of what it is, but that's going to be my diagnosis now, and so then we need more x-rays. That doesn't fit with following proper soap, if you will. Let's put it in terms of a soap. So that's why.
Quality x-rays look like DJD? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out if this is even
a weird
real
angles and stuff. You can see some weird little spicules maybe that are.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out if that's even a
Well, that's the motion. I don't know if
voted. Okay. Well, motion's made, and we have a second, right?
Yes, we just have to roll call now.
Roll call. Okay. Dr. Burns.
Nay.
Ms. Frost.
Nay.
Dr. James is a nay. Dr. Nosley.
Aye.
Ms. Solomon.
Aye.
Dr. Thompson.
Nay.
Dr. Wright.
Nay.
Motion fails.
Okay.
All right, so we have the two motions have passed.
Right.
Anything else? Any other motions, Dr. Mosley? No? Any other motions? Anybody else is doing it? Any other conversation? Because this is fun.
We're talking.
All right, Nick.
Okay. So now I'm going to everything on, or done, right? So the board has voted to find violations. At next month's meeting, the board will just consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law. After doing so, we'll then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. And this concludes the informal interview.